solid rock I stand.
Hallelujah.
Have you learned to go to the rock? Have you learned to go to the rock? If you haven't, you better learn to go to the rock. The hour of dependent on the Lord has never been more real, and I'm dependent on Him utterly. I sure hope you've learned that. Now today, we have a special program. It really is an unusual program. I want us to look at the upheaval in our world. I mean upheaval in our world. Unlike anything any of us have ever known or ever seen, it's like everything is on a dead end path right down to the end. And I don't think there's any question. People are saying that know nothing about God. I don't understand. My world is not my world any longer. Everything is different from anything I remember. It's all unreal. It's unreal. Well, I've been really asking God to show me how to understand this. I mean, it's like the devil's in charge. It's like the most evil people in the world are running this world. It's like the most wicked things imaginable are happening. It's like the weather patterns have gone insane. It really is. And you hear about all the animals that are falling out of the sky and washing up on the banks of the water bodies. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's an upheaval that is unreal. Well, I want to tell you. I want you to listen to me. The God of this universe is in control. The God of this universe is in control. This is the Lord's earth and the fullness thereof. And so in the Bible, there is an answer. And we're going to go back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel lived in a day that is so like our day until you cannot tell the difference. I mean, it really is. The people were rebellious. They didn't have time for God. They didn't want to hear the prophet. They didn't want to hear what God was saying. They had their own minds made up, and they were going to do what they wanted to do, and it didn't matter what nobody said. Well, what did Ezekiel see? Suddenly, Ezekiel saw a movement from heaven, and it was in the form of cherubim, great, mighty angels. I mean, angels incredible in strength, incredible in ability. They are seen in the Bible at different times, and Ezekiel sees them here at this very strategic moment, and they are in charge of the world, even though the devil's crowd think they're in charge of the world. So I want to bring you some biblical truth today to let you see the great cherubim. These are angelic beings. These are great creatures. You see them as four in number, but that word four, the word four simply means earth creatures. They have been assigned by God to do His business on the earth. And so that God has these four cherubim. Now, the four, of course, is the number for the earth, so it really is a multitude. A multitude of cherubim. Of great angels. Great angels. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. In the post we're sending out, in the article we offer to you, we've got some pictures of these great cherubim. They are mighty, I'm here to tell you. And they are in charge of our earth. Now, let me do some things in order here. Number one, I want to read you a little description of these great creatures. The word, this is Ezekiel 1 and 3, if you'd like to get your Bible. Ezekiel 1 and 3. And the word of the Lord came expressly unto, that's amazing to me when I come up on a word, Ezekiel. I couldn't say Ezekiel. You forgive me. You understand I'm 80. You don't have that excuse. Well, anyhow, Ezekiel is listening here. And it says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. And I looked, he said, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Four living creatures. And that's a biblical word for cherubim. Cherubim. C-H-E-R-U-B-I-M. That's a word, a wonderful description. I like the description, living creatures. Living creatures. You see them in Revelation 4, and the translators call them beast. Well, that fit that day in 1511, but it doesn't fit today. They're actually the same living creatures. And you see them in Revelation 4, and we'll get there in a little bit. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a cast foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now, these living creatures, as you can see, are mighty. They are mighty. Now, this description of them is not how they looked. It was their characteristics of their being. It showed they were mighty. It showed they were powerful. It showed they were highly brilliant and knew the very mind of God himself. And they were here for Ezekiel to do the business of God. Now, you go a little further in Ezekiel, and you can see something very important. This is beautiful. And above the firmament that was over their heads, this is the living creatures, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the clouds in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. That was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Notice that, the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, here you have a picture of these great living creatures. I mean, they are incredible creatures. They are mighty. Four is, again, the fact that they are assigned to earthly affairs by God the Father. And you see the Father over them, so that they're doing the business of the Father. Now, there's no question in our minds. We have to keep these operational beings, these great creatures, in business for God all through the Bible. This is not something that happened one time. This is something that happens on a continuous base. And when we get to Revelation 4, you will see these same four living creatures, and now they're with the bridal saints that have been raptured and caught up to God the Father. That's Revelation chapter 4. So we can know, there's no question, they are busy right now. The world is under the sovereign work of the Father. These living creatures are calling the shots from the Kremlin to Washington, from the southern tip of Africa all the way to the northern tip of Canada. There is no place under this globe that these great angelic beings are not carrying out the business of God the Father. Now, I don't think anybody doubts that. If you have any degree of grasp of the Bible, and you understand the scripture, you know that these great living creatures are busy for God. Angels are not just something, that occurred in the Bible. They're not just something that occurred in the life of Christ, in the ministry of Apostle Paul. Remember that angel that appeared to him when they were in shipwreck? and told him everything's going to be okay, and I'm going to even give you the souls of every one of these ungodly men who ride with you on the ship. The Lord didn't call them ungodly, but we know that that is the description of them, and we can see that in many ways. So angels are God's creatures, and they're doing God's business. Now, I want you to grasp that right now, on a worldwide basis, God's great cherubim are doing the job they've always done. They are protecting the mind of God in this universe. They are protecting the mind of God in this universe. Now, the bride of Christ, with the work of the Holy Ghost, is holding Satan at bay. We are his force of power that holds the devil and the Antichrist at bay. But these angels are busy in this. Now, one thing you see as you study this is that these cherubim move in the wake of the Holy Ghost. Now, many people have never seen that. Listen, verse 20, chapter 1. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. You see that on several occasions in about four chapters here, that the Holy Spirit is moving upon the earth, and these great cherubim are moving in the wake of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is called the Lord of Sabaoth. Have you ever heard that term? The Lord of Sabaoth. In the Old Testament, it was called the Lord of Hosts. In the New Testament, the word is used, Sabaoth, which means the Lord of a multitude, or the Lord of a host. So that Jesus is the Lord of a host. The Holy Spirit has come to abide within His church, and God the Father has sent His living creatures. So everything happening around us is just shaping it for the end. Everything is being shaped for the seven-year tribulation period. Everything is being put in order for the seven-year tribulation period. But before it can all begin, the bride of Christ has to be removed. The rapture has to occur. That gives my enemies a fit. If they could stop me preaching on the pre-trib rapture, would they love it? But they can't stop me. I've been in this Bible too long. I know the truths of the scripture too clearly. The rapture will occur, and then we will leave. I'm here to tell you, when that rapture occurs, we will leave. And then these cherubims, or cherubim, it's a multiple number without any S's on it. Cherubim means a great host, a great multitude. I mean, you're talking about angels busy over the affairs of this earth. Even nature is responding to their acts of judgment. Even the enemy has to get permission in everything he does. Nothing that's occurring on a worldwide basis that's not under the sovereign hand of this great God. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? Nothing that's occurring is not under the sovereign hand of this great God. The earth is the Lord's, the Bible said, and the fullness thereof. He is calling the shots. Now, to open this up for you to ask any question you want to ask, and I think I'm prepared. I don't know that I am, because this is quite a subject. I've got a wonderful article I've written on this. I wrote it this week. The Lord really helped me, and it's made available today. We will send it out. If we don't get it out today, they tell me at our supply, at our the friends who are helping us with computer, well, that do our serving for us, they have the address list ready for our emails, and they, if they don't go out today, they won't go out later than Monday, I don't think. I've been amazed at this. Took about 6 weeks to get it solved, but it's worth our while, and we will benefit from it, and you will benefit from it, and then our email list can grow. We're going to have about 30,000 on a list that's been cleansed and scrubbed until all the stuff that robots have put into it are cleaned out. It will cost us less money, although we're having to pay up front, and we are having to pay more for the service we're going to get, and I'm going to depend on you to help me with that, okay? If you don't help me financially, seriously. I mean, there's no way I can raise it on my own. Our local church does a wonderful job, but we have a school. We have three places that we do mission work. We are busy for Christ in this church with all of our hearts. I mean, very busy, but we want you to get the message that we're giving you right now. Now, let's open the lines. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, everybody, that we'll use that local number. We have to pay for the long distance. We'll do that if that's how you need. But if you can call 704-391-0588, that's our local number. That's 24/7 right here on this at this church. You can call that any time of the week. You can call it now to talk to me. Our ladies are standing by to take your calls, to take your requests. You got to get this article. I'm of the opinion that everybody out there needs to read this article about these mighty angels. I'm telling you, if you can understand the cherubims, here's a picture here. Let's see if we can get that for you. A picture of the cherubim. I mean, they are great creatures. It's wonderful to read about them in the Bible. I mean, really wonderful. You all through the scripture, you see the presence of angels, and they right now are watching over us. The Bible said they will bear us up in their wings, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Okay? You hear that? That's how we are. We do have angels all about us. I could tell you some stories. I won't have time to do that. But grab your phones. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and email jrc@paulcreek.org. You got that? jrc@paulcreek.org. Send your requests, send your questions. We are here to help you. Now, I want you to understand these cherubims. I will show you in a moment what God said about that crowd that Ezekiel was ministering to. This was the people of his day that these great cherubims were revealing themselves for. And let me read a verse or two. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. More to read. But that's a picture of the people that he was ministering to. It sounds like today, doesn't it? Really does. You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right, let me see here. Got you. Now, come on. You're there.
Okay. I got a scripture I'd like you to read, the audience. Goes along with what you're saying about the angels, and I think you'll like it. It's Psalms 103, verse 20.
Psalms. Now, what was the chapter?
103.
103. Okay, got you. Psalms 103. Let's go to that quickly if we can. Well, come on here, Bible 103. It's thumbing through I got a fan on because it's so hot in my room, and I'm having to have a fan to survive in here. I tell you, these lights, I'm trying to get it looking better. 103, which verse?
Verse 20.
All right. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. That is wonderful. Bless you the Lord, all you his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Now I want to read that verse again. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. You know, that's a good word. I've been trying to say how strong they are. They're not supernatural, but they do things that are on a supernatural level, but only, of course, at the beckoning of God. Is that the way you understand that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Great angels and great power. And they are right now, they are the ones pulling this earth together for the 7-year tribulation period. They are in charge of everything going on out there. Those devils cannot bypass their willing submission in no circumstance.
Exactly right.
Isn't that wonderful to know the devil can do nothing God don't give him permission to do? Now, 7 years of the tribulation period will be the most unusual period of human history. when literally the devil will have free reign for 7 years. And he will turn this earth into a wilderness. He'll make a hell hole out of it. Well, it's already pretty much a hell hole. But we still have, we still have many good people, wonderful people, godly people all over this earth. Every part of this earth, every continent, God's got people in Australia. We hear from them. God's got people in Pakistan. We hear from them. Africa, South America, Canada. God's got good people all over this earth. If it wasn't for that, he would have already destroyed the whole mess. I really believe that.
Exactly right. And I tell you, the angels protect me every day. They protect you. They protect all of us, I tell you. And my guardian angels, I don't know what we'd do.
I don't want to be in my automobile without an angel. I do not. I constantly trust the Lord. Here I am, 80. I don't drive quite as quick on the move as I used to. I have to go a little slower. I have to stay back behind people. But I know I've got angels with me, and that gives me great assurance. Thank you, friend. Now, call us quickly out there. These are questions that can be some of the most wonderful ones. Do you understand the power of a cherubim? I mean, no, you don't understand it. I don't either. I shouldn't even ask the question. They're incredible. I can tell you the story of one cherubim that went into the midst of Israel when the Syrians had come against Israel, and they was out camped not far from Jerusalem intending to destroy the city. And one night one angel, the Bible said, one cherubim went into that camp, and the next morning 185,000 Assyrians were dead. One angel in one night, 185,000 killed. Now, I'm here to tell you, this world is under such an evil direction. I am overwhelmed at what is happening. And I'm here to tell you, God is in control. It is not Obama. He is only doing what God has allowed him to do. And at the right moment, God's going to cut him off like literally, the cutting of an, it's just going to be over. It's going to be over. But not just him, all over this globe that is going on. And this same-sex marriage, the transgender push that is nothing but a hellish thing. Look at people today, how they mark their bodies with tattoos. I have been amazed at the women I've seen lately, that every part of their body that they allow to be shown, and they show as much of it as they can, is full of tattoos. And it's the most evil looking thing. It's just overwhelming. Now, why is all of this happening, Brother Chambers? The cherubim of God are leading and guiding and directing and allowing some of its direction, some of its their action, some of its what they allow the enemy to do, and all is getting ready for the great 7 years of tribulation. Believe me, it's coming. It is being prepared. And the saints of God, hallelujah, are going to be gone. Now, I don't want you to just sit there. If I can answer a question for you, I want to answer it. Now, let's go to the web page here and see if we have anything there. Emails are always welcome. We are here to try our best to be a blessing to you. Let me see what I've got here. Nope, that's not it. All right, I guess I don't have anything yet. Grab your mouse and give me an email. I will answer your question by email just like I do the others. I want to hear from you. The lines are now open. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Now listen to me. God is in control of what's happening in our world. Do not think that God has given that control over. The Antichrist is restrained until the bride of Christ is gone. The Antichrist is restrained. The Holy Ghost within the bride, within the church, is holding the devil at bay. But when that occurs, let me read, if I might. I've kind of changed my Bible location here, so let me find my place. I want to read the rest of that scripture that describes the evil of that generation. And I want you to look at how absolutely just as evil we are seeing it today. I mean, it is so evident. He says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned from his wicked way, or wickedness, and he turned not from his wicked way or his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, he's not just talking about Ezekiel's day. He's talking about mine, your day. You need to start warning the wicked. I told my wife this morning, my grandbabies won't come around me because I always preach to them. I'm constantly sending them an email or something to warn them and to help them. I got six of them. They're precious. They're all the well-to-do kids. They are successful in making a living. They're married. We got one great grandbaby, two on the way. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And they're beautiful kids, but they're lost. And they run from Papa. Oh, they love Mama. But they run from Papa because Papa just looks at them and says, you've got to get right with God, son. I said to one in front of his working friends of the day, God called him to preach. And if I could just get him ready to obey God, it would be a wonderful thing. I mean, really, we care about them. They are precious. I love them. And they don't come around me because I'm full of the gospel. It rings. Oh, my wife is precious too, but you know, she's a grandmother. She can do different things that I don't do very well. Oh, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Now, call us. I want one call after the other. I want to really help you understand this subject. And I want you to take a look around your world. And I want you, instead of just seeing a bunch of godless people, I want you to know there's cherubim out there. And they're directing the whole course of this thing. And it's going to end exactly right. It's going to end exactly right. Do you understand that? It's going to end exactly right. God is going to bring it to come out to a finish line. And the rapture will take place and then all hell turn loose. But after 7 years, we'll be back. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother Chambers. I guess a lot of people have seen pictures of angels. And the pictures they've seen in a lot of cases are feminine looking, when the Bible, I think, describes them as masculine, 30 feet tall.
Well, you'll always notice that if I depict an angel, it will be a masculine picture. There are no such thing as female angels. A female angel is a demon. Did you hear me? A female angel is a demon. And anybody out there can know, if a female angel appears to you, you just had a visit by the devil, or one of the devil's emissaries, one of the devil's demon spirits. And so there are no such thing as female angels. They are all masculine. And all you got to do is go to your Bible. Study the Bible. Don't take my word. Study the Bible. You must understand, see, that angels were created long before humans were created. And there was no necessity of female angels. God made our dear women, our wonderful ladies, because we men were just not complete without them. I wouldn't want to be without my sweetheart. I'm here to tell you, she has been a rock to me. I mean, a wonderful support for me. She has taught me so much. When I was converted, I couldn't even read. And when she was converted, she was a smart little gal, about to go to college before she became very, very sick with diabetes. And you know, she's just a very smart lady. Well, God created lady folks as a partner with us men. But angels were created long before male and female. I get it out right here. And so they were only in the masculine. Because God is masculine. The Lord Jesus is masculine. The Holy Spirit is masculine. And this crowd of people that want to take the Bible and eliminate gender out of it because they hate the idea of the masculine, you just realize they're playing the part of fools is what they're doing. They're playing the part of fools. They are absolutely insane when it comes to the Bible and truth. Thank you, sir. You got me started.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Where is it in the Bible, Brother Chambers, where it speaks about Elisha was surrounded by hordes of armies?
Well, that's in the Valley of Dothan, and it's in Kings, one either first or second. I don't know. I don't remember offhand the exact location. But see, what had happened was the army of their enemy had come and surrounded him during the night. And God sent a host of angels that came and surrounded him between him and the army of the enemies. And God's done this many times. And I'm here to tell you, God is doing it again. Hallelujah. I'm depending on it. I am so thrilled by the understanding of this message as I'm bringing it to you today. Because I want everybody out there to know the devil isn't pulling these tricks on top of us. All of this work of the enemy is only being allowed for a period of time, and then at God's moment, it will be concluded.
Okay, sir. I think his servant or friend went to the window and saw him, and he told Elisha, he said, you got to come see, and he looked out the window.
Yeah.
Where the other man, right.
The servant of Elisha couldn't see them, but Elijah, being full of the Holy Ghost as he was, could. That is a beautiful picture. I'm preaching tomorrow. Here's what I'm preaching tomorrow. I'm preaching on you cannot stop a singing heart. You cannot stop a singing heart. And this text will come from the book of Acts, where Apostle Paul and Silas was in prison in Philippi. And as they were in prison, they'd been beat in an inch of their life. They were locked in stocks in the middle of this old filthy jail. And they were singing. I mean, it was midnight and they were singing. But God sent a sunburst at midnight and set the singing preachers free. And I'm of the opinion, if you'll learn to live in the gospel message of this Bible, in these great truths that I try to bring you every week, and you'll walk with Christ, God will take care of you, and nothing can stop a singing heart.
And too, Brother Chambers, whenever Elisha saw him and smiled, and he asked God to open that servant's eyes, and then, do you think we'll live to be able to see in the spirit like Elisha asked the servant.
Well, you know, I would love that. That may happen before the rapture. It will happen big time at the rapture and after the rapture. But it may happen again before the rapture. But you remember, the angels only move in the wake of the Holy Ghost. America and the saints need today is to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. We'll see a lot more when we live a lot closer to God.
Amen. I believe that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you. Call us quickly. 1-800-338-7884. Hey, this is a great subject. Do you understand this world is not in the devil's hand? Satan does not control this earth. I know he's the god of this world. But he's not the God of the end results. He's not the God of what is occurring on the spiritual level. He's not the God against those things that God is preparing for the end time. He's simply the God of the system. He's the God of the attitudes, of the motivations, of the filthy living, of the ungodly conduct. Satan is the god of this world, but not the god over the world and over the affairs of the ultimate. You can depend on it being in God's hands. And I love this thought of these cherubim. Man, I would be glad for one to come right here and fill this room and you could see it. I would love that. Probably won't happen because, you know, I'm not that important. But I can tell you that we all are important enough that invisibly they are protecting us and they're caring for us and they're watching over us and we're under their care. Now, let me hear from you. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I would love to answer your question. I really would. I think I have one here. All right. Let's see if I can find it. Psalm 78 and 49. Does God also have control of evil angels? Psalm 78, 49. Let me find that because I need to read it. Psalm 78, 49. You may want to look for it, even as I do. 78, I'm almost there, so be patient with me, okay? 78, 49. Pages don't turn good when you're in a hurry, do they? That's just part of it. 78:49. Here we are. I hope it's the right verse. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble. He sendeth evil angels among them. Hey, that's a good question. Now, does God control evil angels? Yes. Does God send them? He allows them. When it says sent them, it means he allowed them to go. They were from him in the sense that he allowed them to come. He allowed them to be there. So, yes, in that sense, God does control evil angels. And that's a beautiful thing to think about, really, that they can do nothing that God don't allow. They can do nothing that God don't allow. You don't have to worry about the devil pulling a trick on God. You don't have to worry about the devil getting a hand against God. You don't have to worry about the devil doing something against you when God has not allowed it. I'm here to tell you, God is in control. This is his world. And if you can trust that, it will make your life a lot sweeter. I really worry about that multitude out there that don't have time for God. How in the world do they survive? How do they make it? How do they handle day by day knowing that anything that could happen? See, when you don't have God's will in your life, when you're not doing God's will in your life, there's a certain amount of liberty the devil has against you. I know he doesn't have ultimate liberty, but there's a certain amount of liberty he has against you. And you watch anybody out there that has known the truth, that has been raised in the truth, like my grandchildren, like my family, and many more that I know. I was talking to a precious man this morning I love him so dearly. And I asked him about his daughter, and he said, she's in jail. I said, what? I literally started crying, weeping, because he told me his daughter was in jail. And it just broke my heart. I'm not going to give no names here. But I'm here to tell you, folks, we are in a day that is overwhelmingly wicked. It is evil to the core. It is dark and rebellious. And many of you listening to me right now, you're going to do your thing. You're going to go where you please. You're going to live like you please. Many of you were raised in great churches. You were born again in wonderful atmosphere of great churches. But you've been looking for a more liberal place where you can do like you please and where there's no restriction. I have a lot of people that don't come here to church that respect me to the highest. And they don't come here for one reason. It's because I teach godly living. I teach you got to live by this Bible. I don't believe that you know, you can do the things this world is doing and still walk with God at the same time. The Bible says, come out from among the world and be you separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my children. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You shouldn't want to look like the world. You shouldn't want to act like the world. You shouldn't want to smoke like the world. You shouldn't want to drink like the world. You shouldn't want to go to worldly places of amusement. Why do you need them places to make you happy when you've got the joy of the Holy Ghost in your heart and life? Now, I've got 20-some minutes here, and the calls have been fewer because I'm on a tough subject. And I'm not sure most of you even know the question to answer or to ask, and I understand. I do understand. Cherubim, God's great cherubim, preparing the earth for the 1,000-year tribulation period. Now, while I'm waiting on your call, let me give you the number again. I hope you'll take this and call 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. You got that? And then the toll-free, 1-800-33-8784. 1-800-33-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, or 338-7884. Will you grab your phone? Call quickly. I want to take one call after the other now for the next 20 minutes, and I want to answer any question you ask. And while you are calling, I'm going to take you to Revelation, and I'm going to show you those same four living creatures, okay? Let's go to verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts or living creatures. Everybody out there, you take your Bible and you take that word beast and you translate it into what it actually is, living creatures. Now you can find that in the original Greek, okay? You can find it in the original Greek, living creatures, not animals. That gave a wrong opinion for my day. Now, not in 1511, that fit all right, because there was a different perspective of animals in that day. But I'm here to tell you, that means living creatures. So here we are at the rapture, Revelation 4. Revelation 3 is the end of the church age. Revelation 4, John's caught up to heaven. And when he's caught up to heaven, he sees the throne set in the sky. And then he sees the 24 elders, the glorified saints, and that's the multitude. You'll see that in chapter 5 of Revelation. And then he sees the four living creatures, and again, a multitude of them. And why are they around the throne? They just finished their activity on earth. They just prepared the earth for the great tribulation. But before the tribulation could start, they had to, with the Father's hand and the work of the Holy Spirit, and the great and other great angels, they had to remove the saints from the earth and place them around the throne of God in heaven. The rapture is not me and you flying by our own strength. We are removed by the strength of God as great saints. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I don't know about you, but I get excited when I'm dealing with something so wonderful. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, Preacher Chambers, I have a question.
Good.
Comment. Could you comment on where the safe people are going to be during the 1,000 years that Satan's bound, and when he's loosed, where the safe people will be?
Where are the safe people going to be at the end of the 1,000 years when Gog and Magog is loosed? Is that the question?
Well, while Satan's bound for 1,000 years, where would the safe people be?
We're going to be on this earth. During the 1,000 years, we're going to come back with Christ and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. We will reign with him.
Right, and after that, when it said that Satan is loose,
we'll be right here and we'll watch it. And it will, we'll watch it. It will be a very short thing. It won't last long. See, the reason Satan is loosed at the end of this 1,000 years is because a lot of natural people have been born. These natural people born during the 1,000 years have never had to face the devil and be tempted. So they've got to make a choice. And so God allows the devil to lead them in rebellion. And those that lead in rebellion, God will destroy.
Right. You answered my question, because I was wondering about that. I knew we was going to come and reign here on earth, but after Satan loosed,
well, see, we'll be right here watching all of that. I mean, that'll be a quick thing. Satan will be loosed. All the wicked will gather around him. He'll lead them on a rebellion, and God will destroy them with fire. Fire comes down out of heaven and just consumes them, the Bible said.
Absolutely.
And then they'll have to be at the white throne judgment and pay with eternal damnation.
Right. I appreciate you elaborating on that, Preacher Chambers.
Well, I'm delighted. I love answering these kind of questions. I mean, the Bible is full of them. I had a wonderful question asked me last night at a restaurant. And this was by a mother and a daughter who was in our church last Sunday. And they asked me what the Bible meant when it says in chapter 6 of Revelation that the heavens fled away. And I said, that is talking about the heavens above us, between us and God's heavens. See, there's three levels of heaven.
Right.
First, second, third. Paul was caught up to the third heavens. Now, that's God's place. That's the paradise. The second heavens is a great expanse between the earthly heavens that is right above us and God's heaven, which is up there. When that second heavens is removed, remember in Revelation 6, the kings and all these great wicked people look up and they see God and they see his throne. And they say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. The people on the earth during the 7-year tribulation, at some point in the early stages of it, will be able to look up and actually see God on his throne and the saints around the throne and all the great celebration that's going on in heaven. And nothing will make it so miserable on this earth during those 7 years as seeing us up there shouting and praising God.
Absolutely. Me and my husband want you to know how much we appreciate your program. We appreciate your proof, and we ask and we pray for you, and we love you.
That is wonderful. Thank you for your kindness, dear lady. We've got friends all over this earth, and our posts, that I write, have not been going out for about 6 weeks, and it's all been a matter of having to clean up some things. The company that did it changed all their perspectives suddenly on us, and so we had to have our whole list completely sanitized because a lot of robots had put false emails in and had it all messed up, and so now it's supposed to be ready to day, but as I checked some time ago, it wasn't, so it may be Monday, but then this post will go out, but everybody can order it right here. It's really good. The worldwide upheaval in cherubim angels.
Right.
It gives people a picture of these angels that they can study, and pastors can use this as an outline to preach a sermon if they will. I won't mind at all. Don't even have to give my name.
Lewis, you have a blessed day, and just keep us in your prayers.
I promise. God bless you. Call quickly. I want to hear from you. I want you involved in asking whatever question is on your mind. This is a great subject. It really is. I'm overwhelmed by it. Let's see what we have here. Well, that's not one of them. I keep thinking that more of you are going to send questions. Where are my wonderful friends on email? Here's one. I think my people said that. Wait a minute. My pastor said that he has named his angels, and that all would not be good if he told it to zap someone who is opposing him. How much error should a church allow? My pastor said he has named his angels, and that it would not be good if the Lord, if he is told to zap someone who is opposing him. How much error should a church allow? Now, let me tell you, God's not sending angels just to zap people. That whole feeling just doesn't ring with me. I don't know exactly what the person has suggested, but I can tell you, judgment does come. God allows judgment to come, and you can't disobey God and not get caught up in what's going to happen. The devil will destroy you when you're caught up with God, with the devil. The devil will destroy you when you're caught up with the devil. The devil's not no good taskmaster. He don't make you serve him so he can be good to you. He makes you serve him so he can get you in a trap and zap. It's the devil that does the zapping, I promise you. We are living so near the coming of the Lord. Now, lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Now, could I make sure that nobody that listens to me fails to get this? That's very important to me. I want you educated. I don't write these kind of things. I wrote this Wednesday night. It was about 11 o'clock when I finished. And I knew the Lord had really poured it in my heart. Good understanding of the Bible. So that you can read it and it's clear. It's distinct. It won't confuse you. It'll just enlighten you. And I love doing that because I want God's people educated. I am amazed at the questions people ask me. And I wonder where their preachers have been. Why their pastors aren't preaching the great things of God's Bible. They are exciting. We studied this Wednesday night here at our church so that my people will understand it and know what's going on in this crazy world of ours. I want you educated. I want to be educated more and more and more. I yearn for that. I yearn for that. God bless you. Call us quickly now. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, how are you?
I am wonderful.
Great. You sound good. Yeah. What's the difference between the cherubims and also the seraphims?
Okay, cherubims and seraphims. What's the difference? I believe the cherubims are assigned to the earth. You always see them in the number of four because their activity is earthen activity. Cherubims, seraphims, they are assigned to heaven, and they protect the holiness of God in heaven. They are constantly around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. So cherubims, this is my opinion. I can't really prove this, but I see evidence of this. That cherubims are earthly angels that are dedicated to the activities of God on the earth. And seraphims are heavenly dependent on helping God and taking care of God's business in the heavens. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. One question, too. It's about four cherubims, meaning four creatures.
Oh, see, these four does not mean a minimum of four or a limit of four. The word four, it only shows their earthen activity, that they are God's great beings who are doing his business on the earth. I would tell you there is a multitude of cherubim.
Oh.
So four only denotes their place of activity, not their number.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Four is always a worldly or earthen number in the Bible. Seven is always a perfection of whatever, the completion of whatever God is doing, okay? And so the numbers are very important in the Bible, and they always denote something very important. You know, that's a very good question. Have I helped you?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers, I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about clones, and they got the genetics ready to go on that. I was wondering, what kind of beings will they be? Will they be?
Well, I don't think we'll get to that point. I really don't. I think God's going to cut this thing off before it gets that big, that bad. But, I mean, if they could clone, how do you say that word? I can't get it to come out right.
Clone.
All right. I'm not saying it right, but and I'm not good with words like that. I have a tongue-tied condition that goes back to my childhood, and most people don't know it, but I wrestle with a lot of words. But, they would just be some kind of animal. That's all they could be.
Well, now, you know, that just means that it's even closer to the bird than we think.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Remember the time of Noah when the Bible told about the angels, the fallen angels, not God's angels, fallen angels going into women, and there were creatures born of them. That Bible calls them Nephilims. And they were huge, and they were animalistic. I mean, they had no soul, and they would be dangerous. They would be dangerous. I'm here to tell you, it would be like meeting a gorilla.
Okay. Well, you've answered my question, and I appreciate it, Reverend Chambers. And you know, you remind me of a modern-day Noah.
Well, I'm just an old Paul trying to do God's business, sir. I'm a servant of the Lord. God bless you now. You know, it's wonderful to be a servant of God. I do love it. I do love it. I'm grateful that he called me. And I don't ever want to do anything but please him. Now, I got about 10 minutes here, and the lines are wide open. 704-391. Some of you, let me put these numbers up here and see if you can hear them. Oh, I didn't put them at the right place. Let's try them here and see if I can. There they are. I hope you can see those numbers and get them, and, you know, and give us a call. We want to be a blessing to you. We really do. You are important to me. You are very important to me. And I will do anything in my power to be a blessing to you. And I mean that with all of my heart. Let me see if I have any more emails here while you're calling now. 1-800-338-7884-704-391. 1-0588-704-391-0588. If anybody out there has a question that I can help you with, I want to do it. I really want you to learn more things about this Bible than it. I mean, I just want you to get everything that God's got, get it written down on your heart and your mind, and follow God with all that's in your power. There is nothing so wonderful as that. There is nothing so rich as that. And so you get ready to serve him with all your heart, my friend. And if you're not a Christian, you can be saved today, right while I'm talking to you, right while I'm talking to you. You can be saved today. He's ready to save you. He's ready to save you. You on the air? May I help you, please?
As in the days of Noah, it said it would be.
Yes.
In hearts be cold as ice. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Their lovers of pleasures and delicacies. Yahweh has a word for this. It's called blasphemy.
Yeah, we got a world full of people that are blaspheming God and don't even shudder when they do it.
The day is upon us and the time is at hand. You speak. Spirit is searching throughout all the land. He's looking for those who in His Word still stand.
Why are you reading that from? It sounds good.
Bridegroom's ready, waiting for the Father's command. God gave it to me as a song.
Okay, I'm delighted. He's coming soon, brother. He's coming soon. Now, you stay on the line. I want you to give my ladies your address, because I want you to come to camp meeting this year, okay? Stay right there. Don't you go nowhere. Let me make sure I put it on hold. Take it, ladies, okay? God bless you. Let me get my right line here. Hey, friend, we are living in a dark day. We really are. We are really living in a dark day. I am amazed. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Nope, I don't have anybody there. I think they're getting in line, too. What is it? Are you there? May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, I am excited that this world is not in the hands of Obama. It's not in the hands of Putin over in Russia. That God has His great cherubim that are preparing everything for the final moment.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Why have nobody ever talked about this much?
I have a question that's kind of on my heart, and I've been trying to research it out in the Bible, and I can't really find that much information on it. And I want to ask you your...
See if I can help you. Let me hear it.
Biracial relationship. I know Moses was married to an Ethiopian woman, and his sister and his brother kind of got on about a little bit. God gave his sister leprosy for a week.
Well, you know, I would like to say, to be your friend, to bring that subject up and get into the middle of it could be I don't know what kind of a discussion it would be. I don't think God has every color of skin on the face of this earth came from the same original blood. Okay?
Yes,
so there is no such thing as you know, as somebody, I would want my sons to marry in their own race. I think most good black people want their children to marry in their own race. If somebody does differently, it has no spiritual condemnation at all.
Yes, sir.
You can't condemn that. I mean, it may not be sociably good in many cases. There are cases when it has caused great despair. So I would say that's a matter for people to decide, not for me. And thank you, sir. I am grateful for your call. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Hey, you're too loud now. Can you back off a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you're on a speakerphone or something.
Not anymore, sir.
Hey, you'll have to call me back on a different phone. You're on a speakerphone, and it's doing nothing but making a lot of noise, okay? But please call me back on a different phone. It's a joy, my friend, to bring you the things that we bring you every Saturday. I want you to get in this Bible and live in it like you never have before. And I want you to know you can rest and you can trust in God. And anybody out there that's not born again, you are playing with fire. I'm here to tell you now, I'm preaching in the morning on a sermon, you cannot stop a singing heart. Now, I'm going to preach some things tomorrow about singing that every person out there ought to hear. You know, the world is singing their songs, but most of the world singing is nothing but taking dope. They sing the world songs because it gives them a moment of peace. There's no lasting joy in the world's songs. But God's songs are full of joy. They're full of excitement. You can sing them hour by hour and day by day. And there's nothing as beautiful as God's people singing and making melody with the Lord. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. So if you're not saved, I hope you'll turn to Christ very, very, immediately. Don't wait around. You don't have much time. I promise you. You don't have much time. I'd like to have you in church tomorrow. I promise you, you'll like this sermon. You cannot stop a singing heart. It's the story of Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi, locked in stocks and in an old filthy jail. They've been beat in an inch of their life, and it's midnight, and what do? They sing. Hallelujah. They sing. Keep on singing, saints. Keep on singing. Now, I know I got to go here, but I want to tell you, I need your financial help. We've had to pay some extra dollars to get ourselves straight on our emails. I mean, quite a few of them. I need some help. I need some summer help. I really need $20,000 this week from all of my radio and internet friends. You are responsible to help keep me on the air. You are responsible to help keep me bringing you this good preaching I'm bringing you. I'm bringing you good stuff out of this Bible. I'm dedicated to the Holy Book. Now you read Ezekiel 1, 2, 3, and 4, Revelation 4, and you combine those, and you call and get this order, this booklet, post. I want you to have it. It will be a blessing to you. I'm telling you, it will be a blessing to you. I want you to have it because I want to bless you. My joy is to bless you, friend. I'm here for no other reason but to help you grow in the Lord and get closer and closer to Him and do His will. It is wonderful to do the will of God. There's nothing like doing the will of God. Nothing. I love you. It's a joy to bless you. I love bringing you the wonderful truth of the Bible. Love to have you tomorrow. Want to hear from you financially. I want you to be a blessing, and I want to be a blessing to you. Do you hear me? I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you.
Torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home. Celebrate me there. Celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate. Heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I